You really want to do that? Are you really wanting to do that? Hey, amen. I appreciate you coming out to hear a sick man. We'll give it a try. And but the Lord's good. And I'm glad that this isn't dependent on me. But if you will, take your Bibles tonight. Go to Isaiah. Go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. There are times when you do right and you're glad you did. I guess you're always glad you did. But over the past months, for a number of years, I did not work my voice. It worked. It was like, okay, that's good. And we were down south in January, had some time. And so I started really working on my voice, and it actually, I was able to drop it, bring in a behavior almost an octave lower. And I'm really glad that I did that, because if I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have any voice tonight. There'd be nothing. So, Isaiah chapter 53, and we will start in verse 1. This sermon tonight, I was praying, and I had a couple different sermons on my heart. This sermon, in a way, is kind of different. And it's like, Lord, really? And but I do believe it's what the Lord would have me to do. And so we will go with it. But Isaiah 53, let's start in verse 1. The Bible says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, there was nothing that stood out. It's like, oh, that's the Lord. There was no beauty. There was nothing. He was very common, and in a way, the way it looks, he wasn't even that good looking. A just ordinary, there's no beauty, there's no comeliness, that sort of thing, that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I would like you to notice verse 3, which is the text that I'll be preaching from. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for these people coming out tonight. Lord, they've been working. They're tired. God, I pray tonight, dear Lord Jesus Christ, would you please meet with us tonight in spite of me? And it's always that way, whether the voice is good or bad, or the body good or bad. Lord, it's not me, it's you. God, would you please bless, lead, guide, and direct the sermon tonight? God, I pray that you would minister to hearts here tonight, Lord God, whatever the need is, Lord. God, I pray you'd have your will and your way. And God, I pray there'd be some people that would get some, just a real blessing from the message tonight, whatever the help is needed. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I had a man tell me this story, and this story happened to him. It's a first person. But he was a little boy of about 8 years old. He had never met his father, never seen him, didn't know him at all. One day, I believe it was a Friday night, some relatives were at his house. His mother was there. And they said, tomorrow, you're going to get to meet your father. I'm sure he was excited. He'd never met his father. Had not really heard a lot about him. I think he knew that his father had been a military man. I believe it was 82nd Airborne, had been in Vietnam. But they said, tomorrow you're going to meet your father. You're going to spend some time with your father. And in the morning, he got up, got ready. And sure enough, a car pulled up, full-sized car. I think he said it was green. You know, little boys, they'll see things, you know. And he said, his mom said, well, there's your father. Go on. And he went out of the house, got in the car. They went down the road. He didn't know what to say. This is his dad. They went to a park. And it was a park that, summertime, springtime. It was a park that had a lake. And you could rent paddle boats and go out in the lake paddle boating, you know, that sort of thing. And his father went up and rented one of those boats. And this 8-year-old boy and his dad, first time together, got in the paddle boat and they started out across the lake. There wasn't a lot of conversation. And as they were paddling on the lake, he said his foot slipped off the pedal. And as his dad was paddling, the pedal came around and kind of crushed his foot, scraped it, you know, that sort of thing. He said it hurt, and he began to cry. 8-year-old boy, his foot hurt, was bleeding. His dad looked at him and turned the paddle boat around. They headed towards shore. They got to shore, got out of the boat. He said, come on. And paid for it, whatever he had to do, and they left the park, got in the car, and started down the road. He was not, you know, 20 or 30 miles, but there was a number of miles from his house. And he said they were going down the road. His father pulled over to the side of the road, looked at him, and said, get out. And he just looked at him, and he opened the door. As he was getting out, he said, no son of mine cries. And he got out. His father took off. He told me that story when he was in his 30s, and he had never heard from nor seen his father since that day. And that day, he had been despised and rejected. Now, I'm thankful to tell you tonight that since meeting him, he got a hold of his father. They have been reconciled, and he knows who he is, and there's a good relationship there now. But for a good 25 years of his life, that's all he knew. He was despised and rejected. The Bible, you know, it covers everything. And one of the subjects that the Bible covers is the fact of being despised and rejected. As people, we like to be accepted. We like to be welcomed. We like to be popular, you know, that sort of thing. We don't like to be rejected. We don't like to be despised. Somebody come along and say, get out of here. We don't want you around here. You know, that despising thing. In the Bible, there's a man by the name of Jephthah. And Jephthah was the son of a harlot in Judges 11. You don't have to turn there. And he had brothers and sisters, and they despised him. And they kicked him out. The Bible says they thrust him out, literally threw him out of the country, his homeland where he lived. They literally threw him out. And he was despised and rejected. Joseph, in the Bible, was his daddy's favorite, and yet he was despised and rejected by his brothers. And they took him in and put him in a pit. You know the story. And he was despised and rejected. Moses was despised and rejected. They say, who made you a prince and a judge over us? And he's running for his life. Tamar is abused and raped by Amnon. And then he says to his servant, get her out of here, shut the door and lock it after her. She was despised and rejected. The Bible says in Matthew 24, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And we live in an age today of selfishness, and there's children, there's people growing up, and they are being despised and rejected all around us. And it's something that is getting more and more common. And when they grow up, they've got some real problems about it. And I want to preach on the subject of despised and rejected. Jesus Christ was despised and rejected. He knows what it's like to be despised. You might say, Jesus Christ had the ultimate despised and rejection by being rejected, but he came to his own, and his own received him not. They said, crucify him, and he's crucified on that cross. He was despised and rejected. The Lord Jesus Christ understands. If you're going through something tonight, maybe it's at work, maybe it's at school, I don't know. But maybe someone here tonight, you're going through something where somebody just despises you. They reject you. They don't want you around. Maybe you had been friends, and they don't want you as their friend anymore. Maybe it's family. I don't know. But there's going to be times in this life, if you live for the Lord Jesus Christ, where it's going to happen to you. If you are the Christian that the Lord wants you to be, there are going to be times, you mark it down, there are going to be times where you are despised and rejected. The world will have no use for you. If you live for the Lord, if you stand up, if you're a Bible believer, you tell them the truth, they got no use for you. They don't want you around. There may be lost relatives. Maybe you got saved and your family is lost and you try to witness to them. There's going to come a point they don't want you around. You're going to be despised and rejected by the ones you love. I mean, that happens over and over and over in life, in the Bible, the Lord understands what it's like. The Bible says they all forsook him and fled. And that's the disciples. He's on the cross. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, the Lord wasn't despised by the Father, and he wasn't rejected by the Father, but there was a forsaking going on there. And I'm just saying to you tonight, if there's someone here tonight, and you're going through something like this, you're being despised or rejected, your Savior understands what you're going through. He's been through it. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sins. And I want to say some things about being despised and rejected. And I want to say, number one, the ones in the Bible that were despised. This is going to be kind of weird, okay? At least I think of it, but it's very real. The ones in the Bible that were despised and rejected, from what I can tell, they were not obnoxious jerks. Some people earn it. You know what I mean? I mean, that you've been around some people, and it's like, would you just get out of here? They've earned it. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just that way. But in the Bible, I don't see whether that way. I mean, I think of Jephthah, and Jephthah is the son of a harlot. And his brothers and sisters are saying, get out of here. I can fully imagine Jephthah going, I didn't ask to be born this way. I didn't ask to be the son of a harlot. I had no choice. It's just how I was born. Get out of here. They don't want him around. I mean, with lots of times somebody's despised and rejected, they have that feeling, but I didn't ask to be this way, you know? I mean, Joseph is favored by his father. His brothers envied him. Now, obviously, I mean, Jephthah and all these people, in a certain way, when they're despised and rejected, they become a type in your Bible of Jesus Christ. In one way or another, they become a type. They don't realize that, but it's true. Joseph is one of the greatest types of Christ in the Bible there is. And he's envied. I mean, his brothers are like, oh, here comes daddy's pet. Oh, this is, you know, oh yeah, this is okay. Man, we're going to deal with him. And they throw him in that pit. The Bible says in Psalms that he's begging, and well, let's turn there. Go there. Go to Psalms 105. I believe that's it. Look at Psalms. I'm going off the top of my head, so I'm not positive on this. Yeah, Psalm 105. And look at verse 17. Psalms 105 and verse 17. The Bible says, he sent. You know who that he is? That's God. He sent. How did he send him? His brothers betray him, and he's in chains going down to Egypt. It's like, wow, what a way to be sent. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. That isn't the one I was thinking of. I believe it's Genesis. You don't have to turn there. But in Genesis, it said, Reuben says, was not this, you know, they're before Joseph, they don't realize it's him. And Reuben says, was not this when he begged and pleaded for mercy and they wouldn't listen? They despised him. They rejected him. And the way things are going, brothers and sisters, if you live for the Lord, that day may come to us. May come to us very strongly. You have no idea what may be just around the corner. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto thee. The Bible says over there in Peter, but Joseph was despised and rejected. They weren't weird. They weren't obnoxious. From what I can tell, they were nice guys. Joseph's a good guy, that sort of thing. But he had God's blessing on him, and his brothers sensed it, and they wanted him out of there. They despised him. These people that get despised and rejected, they didn't ask for the circumstance. It came upon them. The book back there, Dory, and I mention her from time to time in sermons, but just an amazing story. She was despised and rejected by her own mother. She was the product of a one-night stand. She didn't ask to be that way. She didn't ask to be born like that, but she was. And her mother despised her, said, "Don't call me Mama, call me Laura." And she had a sister, Maria, and her mother just loved Maria, but she despised Dory. And Dory was, the book says, the girl that nobody wanted. And man, when you read that thing, it's just an amazing story. And thank God Dory got saved. And thank God she got victorious and God used her. And she married a missionary and they served God. But she didn't ask to be that way. And she was despised. She was rejected. Ended up in an orphanage. And yet that curse became a blessing, because in that orphanage is where she was born again and got saved. And God took that curse and turned it in to a blessing. They didn't ask for those circumstances. And I want to say number two. To these people in the Bible that are despised and rejected, none of them, when I study Jephthah, although it's close, but he was left, but Jephthah and Joseph, none of them sought approval by those that despised them. You know, when you're rejected, some people, when they're rejected by loved ones, maybe a mother, a father, or somebody, they just long to have an acceptance by them. In our church back in Alabama for a while, and it's no longer there, the state came in, and it's a long story, but we had a boys' home, and those boys... most of the boys in that home had all been adopted. And you could sense on Wednesday night, you know, they'd take prayer requests, and those boys, one after another, raise their hand and say, pray that my mom would call. Pray that I'd hear from my family. And so pray that you know, I'd be able to hear, and they'd want me to come home, and you could just hear it in their heart. Just when they speak, there's just a longing for them to just have a mother and father say, "We miss you. We miss you. You know, are you doing better? Boy, we'd sure like you to come home." There was boy after boy after boy, and you could just tell there's a longing. There's one boy there. I won't give his name, but he was, a number of them were Russian. They were Russian immigrants, and they'd been adopted in the States, and it just wasn't going good. And but there's one boy, and the wife of the head of this home, she was talking to him one day and said, "What was it like at home?" You know, he was going through trials and things, and he had some health issues and stuff, and he just stopped. He goes, "Well," he said, "they'd lock me in the basement." He said, "they'd come home from work," and he said, "they'd give me a sandwich, and they would lock me in the basement, lock the door," and he said, "they would be gone for hours. And he said, "I'd be down in the basement. It would be cold." He said, just there. And he said, "I learned how to pick the lock. And he said, I'd open the door. And he said, I'd go upstairs. And I'd go in the kitchen looking for food. And he said, I'd get food and I'd make sure it would look like I hadn't been there. And then he said, I'd go back down and he said, I'd lock the door so they couldn't tell that I had been able to open it. And he said, they'd lock me in the basement. She said, he just kind of looked down. He said, I don't know why. I don't know why. And there he was in the home. What was he? Despised, rejected. And there was a longing. There was a young man there. He's called to preach now. And he's at Bible school. But he said, I'm going to get to go home. Going to get to go home. And he went home. And he didn't last. He caved under the pressure of the world. And backslid and that sort of thing. And got on Facebook. And said some things that he shouldn't have said about his adoptive mother. And she said, take him back. Get him out of here. I don't want him. And she said, I don't ever want to see him again. And he had accused her of abusing him, which she hadn't done. She'd been showing him love and compassion and trying to help him. And heard that, said, get him out of here. I don't even want to see him again. But you could tell that he just wanted an acceptance. And he didn't do the right thing. But there's a longing there. A longing. And when you've been rejected, maybe it's by friends, maybe it's by family, when you try to earn their acceptance, it just makes it worse. It's like it just gets worse. I remember one evening, we were driving, and I think we were coming across, it was the Midwest somewhere, was it Oklahoma or somewhere, I forget. Was it? Got it right? Amen. I said last night, you know, that guy, the convert from William Carey, fourth generation, was Burma, and it's not, it's Bangladesh. Anyway, it's close, you know. But anyway, general area. Anyway, we were driving, it was late. And so we stopped to, you know, get dinner, and we stopped at a Golden Corral. And we were getting something to eat. And we sat down in a booth and, you know, not thinking anything of it. And I went up and I got some salad and stuff. And I was hungry, I was tired. And they had just, I don't know, but they had just made this ranch dressing. Man, it was good. It was just good. And so I'm sitting there eating, you know, and I'm having a good time. And my wife went up to get some food. And behind us, the booth behind me, was two adults and two teenagers. And you could hear, and the voices were starting to raise, and they're beginning to fight. You know, and there's the fighting going on. And the two teenagers, I think, were on my side, and the wife and the husband were on the other side, looked to be in their late 20s, early 30s. And they're just, and pretty soon it just, food is flying. I had deep fried okra landing beside me on the table, you know, and it's like, I don't care. And I just, it did. My wife said it was the funniest thing she ever saw. I mean, they're scrapping. I mean, fists are beginning to fly, you know. And the guy gets up and the teenage girl, and they're duking out right beside me. I mean, right beside me. She's hitting him and stuff. And it was just kind of a wild scene. I didn't care. I'm just like, oh, whatever. And I'm just seeing, you know, she's laughing, you know. And then finally the guy leaves. And he goes. And I was like, well, good. Maybe we'll get some peace and quiet, you know. And he was gone for about 10 minutes. And he came back and he sat down. I never will forget it. Never will forget it. I mean, I'd hear him and that teenage girl, she's going, well, you're this and you're that. And I never forget, it was kind of a mournful pleading. And he said, but I'm not. But no, I'm not. Please. No, please. I'm not. And the more he did that, the worse it got. And you could just hear it. He wanted so much to be accepted. And just, please, no, I'm not. Please, I'm not. And well, long after that, he had to get up and he just left. And the more he tried, the worst of God. And all three of the people in the Bible, Jephthah, Joseph, they were gone. They couldn't seek approval by those that they loved. They were gone. And you just have to deal with that thing. I mean, you say, well, it hurts. Yeah, it hurts. Sure, it hurts. I mean, their loved ones or their friends or whatever. And man, that longing there, I just want to be accepted. That's why sometimes youth get into the gangs or get into these loser clubs, you know, or whatever. Why? Because they're accepted. They're accepted. What are they doing? They're trying to get the praise of man. And if they're lost, they don't know any different. But if you're saved, that isn't what you ought to be doing. Man, you ought to be seeking the praise of God. The Bible says they're the Pharisees, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. The first priority in every one of us here tonight is to seek God's approval first. Now, if you do that, yes, the chances are you're going to be rejected somewhere. I mean, if you haven't been rejected somewhere, I'm not sure what kind of a Christian you are, because this world has no use for you. But I mean, don't waste your life seeking man's approval. This generation, it's in my generation too. I'm not trying to say, oh yeah, your generation. No, we're a mess. All the generations are. Without Jesus Christ, it's a mess. But there is such a longing today to say, look at me, look at me. I mean, you got people climbing skyscrapers. I mean, way up on the top of a skyscraper, you know, holding on and taking a selfie. Look at me, you know, and trying to get that YouTube that hits a billion, you know, or a million or whatever. And boy, the craving for acceptance. You might go to hell because of it. Boy, you'd better seek God's acceptance. You'd better be accepted by God. It's better to be accepted in the beloved than it is to be accepted by this world. This world's going to burn up. Amen, amen, amen. I mean, Jesus said, how can you believe which receive praise one of another and seek not the praise that cometh from God only? For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. I mean, you've got to. You say, but I've been rejected. Don't live your life trying to be accepted. You live your life trying to serve Jesus Christ, be accepted by Him. That's the acceptance that counts most. It really does. And success depends on your seeking God's approval. Will God accept you? Of course He will. Will He say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Listen, brothers and sisters, tonight, if you're saved, you have been accepted in the beloved. What is that? You're accepted in Jesus Christ. You have been accepted into the family of God. You want to say it that way? You're in the church. You're going to be married to Jesus Christ. I mean, if you're safe tonight, you have the acceptance, the only acceptance that really matters. And that is, you've been accepted by Jesus Christ. And listen, He said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I mean, if you're here tonight, and I don't know, I'm a visitor, but if you're here tonight and you've never been born again, you need to get the acceptance that really matters. And that is to be accepted by the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be accepted by him now. He's never going to kick you out. He's never going to reject you. I mean, thank God that is the acceptance that counts. I mean, you take people that are rejected and despised. You know what oftentimes they want to do? If they see that they're never going to be accepted, they want to seek vengeance. They say, I'll take care of them. You don't reject me, are you? I'll show you. I think that's what happened to that preacher's son that just shot his boys and committed suicide. He'd gone through a divorce, and he said, oh, yeah? You want to do that? Well, we'll see. And there was a vengeance there. Listen, the Lord, the Bible says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You're not to live a life of seeking vengeance or payback or that sort of thing. The Lord will handle all that. You see, but preacher, you don't know what they did to me. No, but God does. God does. And it's not up to you to straighten that thing out, especially if you're seeking vengeance. You got to let the Lord take care of that. He said, but they made me look, they laughed at me. Yeah. What did they do to Jesus? I mean, they're mocking him. They're spitting on him. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. I mean, I don't know if there's anybody going through that tonight, but if there is, maybe there's some of you young people and at school or something, you got you thought they were your friends or whatever, and all of a sudden they don't want you around. They're doing this, and you're wondering, how do I deal with this? Draw close to your Savior. Do right. Do right. Let the Lord take care of those things. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Let God deal with that. And you watch the Lord work in your life. And as you trust the Lord to work those things out, He's going to make you a better Christian. You're going to be stronger. You're going to be better. You say, but it hurts. Sure, it hurts. Yes, there's a lot of things in this life that are going to break your heart. But Jesus Christ is not one of them. He's not one of them. And last of all, let me say this. Will God despise and reject you? If you're saved, no. Thank God. When you prayed, when you went to Jesus Christ, and you said, Lord, I'm no good. I'm a sinner. And I believe you died on that cross, or however you prayed, said, Lord, would you please forgive me? Would you come into my heart and save me? He accepted you, and you're never going to hear the words, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. He's never going to reject you. But think about the lost. The Bible says they're cast. Go to 1 Samuel. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 25. There comes a point where the Lord's had enough. 1 Samuel 25. And look at verse 29. 1 Samuel 25 and verse 29. The Bible says, yet a man has risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. It's talking about David. This is Abigail. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. David had a sling, and he used it to kill Goliath, right? He took that stone, and he slung it, and it killed Goliath. Can you imagine God taking the lost one day and slinging them out? I mean, not just letting them drop, but slinging them, just get out of here. And I think that slinging is down. It's to a lake of fire. And if you're here tonight, you've never been saved, you need to be saved. But if you're saved here tonight, there was a day, and if you're not, this can be your day tonight. Years ago over in England, you know the man, his name was George Mueller, and he had an orphanage. And one of the books that was written about him was Robber of the Cruel Streets. And he wasn't really a robber, but he would go up and down the streets of England, and there'd be these children that were abandoned. It was cold. It was snowy and wet and dirty. And he'd find these children. Maybe mom and dad had died of the plague or whatever it was, but they were abandoned. Nobody wanted them. And he would take those children and he would pick them up in his arms. And he would take them back to that orphanage and he'd clean them up and give them clean clothes and a warm place to sleep, and they would have food, and they would be accepted there in that orphanage, and they'd be told about Jesus Christ, and the vast majority were saved. And he would do that, and that's what the Lord did for me and you. We were just abandoned, homeless, hopeless sinners in the path of life. And Jesus Christ came by. We said, Lord, please. He reached down. He picked us up in our sin and our dirt. Please forgive me, Lord. He didn't despise you. He didn't reject you. He took you into his arms. And he loves you. Thank God, thank God. Cleansed you in his blood. And you're now accepted in the beloved. Thank God, thank God. Despised and rejected. If you're saved, you live for God, sooner or later that's probably going to happen. But you have a Savior that knows what you're going through. And you can take it all to him. And you can bear up under that thing victoriously. And shine for Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you would bless the message. Lord, thank you for being willing to go to the cross of being despised and rejected down here, that you might pay for our sins, that we might be able to go to heaven when we die. God, please, I, as far as I know, this is what you wanted me to preach. I pray, Lord God, you'd use it for your glory. I pray, God, that somebody here tonight would get ministered and blessed by it in some way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor.